and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney's Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I love you guys. And I love all of you. Hey, if you don't know me, I am the youth pastor here. My name's Jackson, and I am so stoked that I get to share church with you tonight. And particularly if you're a guest and you're new, it is, number one, my honour that I would be the person that gets to share the good news of what we believe at church with you tonight. And I just know you're actually going to love tonight, and as if you haven't already. I mean, our church... Wowzers. We had a little event the other night called Horizon Youth Gala Night 2019. And I did, a fortnight ago, I was up here preaching and I put out the call to our church, we need your support. And I've got to say, we are the most supported youth ministry in the whole entire world. And so I did want to say thank you so much to everyone who came. A particular shout out to our young adults ministry. I honestly was blown away by how many young adults came and paid their $40, donated. I was blown away. And I tried to get around to most of you afterwards, but I think the youth team would agree with me. We've never felt so supported as we did this year. It was the most financially successful gala we've ever had. And certainly in a very long time, as long as ever. And I'm very grateful for that. And if you are in Horizon Youth or you're a Horizon Youth leader, could you just stand to my feet stand to your feet for me. You guys are exceptional, church. Can you give these guys a huge round of applause? Hey, I just got to say thank you so much. We love you so much. And... Gala is so hard to pull off at times. Gala is a big event and it's got a lot of pressure and you guys carried it so well, but you have set up a phenomenal year for our youth ministry in 2019. So I love you. You guys are champions. You can take a seat. And it is good to be alive. Special shout out to Karen and the creative team. Sorry, Karen. I've just got to say, we are very lucky youth ministry to have yourself and Jared and the whole creative team. We feel so supported, and if you don't know, Karen treats our youth ministry and our youth creative team like as hers. When it doesn't have to be. She could delegate it off, but she backs us, supports us. She gives like a bazillion hours to us. Like, we actually love you. And you know what's crazy? Although tonight's worship was exceptional, it's not abnormal, even on a Friday night. Like, we get to that level as well, but it's because of you, Karen, and we love you. Okay, are you ready for the word tonight? I am excited. I have been... I actually have had this word stirring on my heart for quite some time, but I did think I'm probably not going to get a chance to share it by the end of the year. I just didn't think, but I got a phone call this week and my heart was very happy when Pastor Brad said, Jackson, could you preach? So the title of the message tonight is called The Other Kind of Lost. The Other Kind of Lost. I believe that God wants to do some significant work in people's hearts tonight. This message comes from personal experience. This has been literally months of this year wrestling this principle out. And I can't wait for God to do some amazing grace-filled work in your life tonight. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for your word. I declare your word to be active and alive. I declare in this room, God, that it shall produce and it shall accomplish everything that it sets out to accomplish. We know that tonight, God, is by divine purpose. Tonight we are here under the sound of this word, Father God, because you want to do something amazing in our hearts. I say, let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. A couple of months ago, a pastor, Matt Hines, came and he preached at church. And he preached about the fads that he goes through. I don't know if you remember, and he goes through fads. Well, anyway, I felt very judged that night as I sat roundabouts where Ellis is, and I felt 60 heads just turn and look at me because I am a little bit known for my phases that I go through. My Nautica lad face. That was a particular highlight, Pastor Tim. My Nautica hat. It was sick. Carly Lovell, it was gathering all day. It was just legit. My different gym phases have made an appearance at times. There's been a few of them. First it was Fitness First, and then it was Crunch. I've become an ambassador for all of these different places. It's like one of those people that you start to read a book, you read the first three pages and then you recommend it to somebody else, but you never finish the book, and they come back to you and they ask, oh, what about this amazing part? And you say, oh, I never read that book. Sort of like with the gym, you go for about 2 weeks, become an ambassador, continue an ambassador while you've given up your gym membership. Now, of course, it's the F45 craze, and I know how much the youth ministry loves to hear about my F45 stories. There have been various phases. My vibes, everyone told me that I wasn't going to make vibes happen. I'm pretty sure the Prime Minister quoted vibes the other day, so I'm just like, we're winning on this one. And there were quite a few embarrassing childhood phases that I went through. And I was a guy searching for my identity, and I latched on to a few different things at different times in my life. When my NRL career was diminishing and plummeting to the ground, I needed prominence. I needed that sense of significance. So I thought, I'm going to become a referee. So I got out my whistle at the age of, I don't know, whatever. I peaked it. My mum and I were talking about it. She's like, yeah, you peaked too early in you know, the footy game. I was just happy that I peaked, even so. I was like, that's a pretty big achievement for me. And I took out my whistle, and the whole of Cornell knew that I was on my whistle phase, because there I was, just sisters would do something right, wrong, yep. I'd go to footy training and I'd be like, coach, I don't want to play today, I want a referee. And yeah, he'd get quite aggressive and angry at me. When I was young, I wanted to run away with the circus. The circus was a phase. It was something that I latched onto quite a lot, actually. I think it was the imagination of it. In what was a dark time in our family, that I latched onto the circus thing. So, has anyone ever been to see Cirque du Soleil? And you know, you get captured by the just the wonder, the imagination, the fantasy of it is absolutely exceptional. I have a photo for you today. I didn't actually check if it was sent. Hopefully it was sent. A photo of, I don't know how old I was, but you will see it was pretty cute. Phoebe, do we have that photo? Oh, I'm so sad. It's probably buffering on my phone. Oh, it says, Dear Mr. and Mrs. Moore, this is Cirque du Soleil. We want Jackson to come and join the circus. In like this 5-year-old handwriting, it is so cute. If I say so myself. You know, I really tried to make the sporting thing happen, as is a common theme in my life. I have graduated onto not making it happen. It's just, I am who I am. Thank you, Jesus. And I decided I'd get into tennis. Well, I went to this like state competition. My coach was like, yeah, you should go to this state competition. And I was so pumped, and mum dropped me off, and I was ready to go. And I got absolutely slaughtered. And I realised, I learned a quick lesson, that it is actually quite easy to be the top of something in Cornell. Like, so it's very dangerous to think you may be the top in Cornell. I mean, that doesn't mean you're the top in the state. In fact, so how's this? Look, I'm not bragging, okay? I'm not bragging. Just wait for the end of the story. So I'm in year six. Me and this guy called Cameron, we were head and head, and we were fighting to get ducks at the school in year six. And anyway, I came out on top. I was like, see you later, Patty. Yep, laters. And I got ducks. So then I went for the selective high school exam. And I politely declined from that. A nice little email saying, thank you so much for taking the exam. but no thank you. So then I go, Cronulla High School is my lot in life, and so I go for the selective class in the high school. Alec and Katie, you probably got in there. Anyway, there are a few graded classes, and then underneath are all the ungraded people. Shout out to the ungraded people. Anyway, I was ducks of my school, so I thought, I am for sure gonna get into this. I've got this covered, nailed the exam. I got put in the bottom class. No one from Cornell made either any of the graded classes. I got in L for loser. So I went through the circus, I went through the referee, I went through the tennis, went through the NRL phase, and then I went to the God phase. And I had a few family members, my immediate family were very supportive, but I had a few other family members see my pattern of phases, and they would tell me, this is just a phase. Well, that phase has lasted 12 years and counting, and when I see them, I'm like, yeah, how about that? How about that? Within my 12-year Christian phase of this little thing called Christianity, you also go through phases with God, and you go through time periods where God speaks to you on a particular thing. And because I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I try not to, but I evidently do, and you will hear whatever God is speaking to me about, you will hear about it. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, if you come to our church or not, you are going to hear. And so my grace veins and my grace sweat patches made an appearance back in 2015, and the season was grace, and I would not shut up about it. It was what I thought was going to be my life message, which it is. But I loved it. It was John chapter 1, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Why does it use the word grace and not healing, not love? Because in the word grace is everything that Jesus can give you. And I loved that phase. Then another little phase that I've been through is the chosen phase. And you wouldn't, it's sticking around. It is permanently up on the wall and on our Instagram. But the specific time period where Jesus, every single day, where I sat down at that cafe, he would talk to me about the fact that I am chosen, that he has chosen us, and that we, in response, must choose him. And I loved this. It came from Matthew chapter 22, for many are called, but few are chosen. My life will be a chosen life. It is the Luke chapter 14, and it's the many are called, few are chosen, but in the Luke version. And it lists all the different excuses that people make to say no to the call of God. And Jesus was like, stop saying no to the call of God with these dumb excuses. And so I love that. I love that phase. Currently, I am in the warrior phase, where God has spoken to me so clearly at conference that I am his warrior. I am a costume. The costume is a warrior, and he puts me on. And my life is not going to be lived on the defensive. It's going to be lived on the offensive. It means I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to make it count. I do not want to count for nothing when I go to heaven. I want to take hundreds and thousands with me to eternity. And I reminisce about these time periods where God, you're probably thinking to yourself, there are things that God's spoken to me about, seasons, periods, phases, and you're probably reminiscing like me, and I do miss them at times. I miss the grace, I miss just when God would down, I look back on those times and where I was and what God said with so much fondness. But there are some phases or some things that God speaks to you about that they're not as comfortable. Especially when you're going around the same mountain for the fifth time. And this phase was the first 8 months of the year for me, from the month of February to the month of September, and it was the identity phase. Jesus talking to me about who I am in him, which is great. Except I was a bit like, God, can't I graduate from the identity thing? It shouldn't have been a surprise to me, given that the word of the eve was Jesus telling Peter, let me tell you who you are, who you really are. A church so expansive with energy that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And here we are on the identity. And that season came to a sharp, beautiful close at conference for me. And I want to illustrate tonight who we are in Christ. And my prayer for you tonight is that if you have been on the identity phase, that you would get a beautiful closure tonight. I believe that God wants to settle some things, that God wants to cement some things that He has been speaking to you about. Or maybe you are someone where you have not actually fully come under the word for the year yet. And you've got a few months left, can I tell you, where God wants to deal with your identity, where God wants to tell you who you are, who you really are. And so the passage that I want to draw from tonight is from Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. We're going to read from verse 11. I'm going to read the whole thing, and it's going to be amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. So Jesus tells a story. He says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he said, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. An incredible story. But when we hear it and when we read it, and I know why, we focus on the younger brother, the first son. And that's because it's very easy to figure out why. Because at one point, we were all the younger brother. We were all the younger son. That is because we took the life that God gave us, the life that He entrusted us, the gifts that He's given us, and we ran from Him and we squandered it with our own decisions. By our own decision, we got ourselves into a mess. But God, in His grace, when we turned back to Him, came running towards us, and we were lost, but now we are found. Tonight, you may be someone who is in that very situation, wondering, will I ever get out of this mess? Can I tell you that you have arrived at a good place? Because there is a Father who will have you back in a heartbeat. But where God really speaks to me is the older son, the second brother. And the reason is we always focus on the first son. And this first son, he didn't have a good relationship with his dad, evidently. Didn't understand the heart, the loving heart of his father. So he took the father's wealth and ran with it. Destroyed his life and turned back to his father, asking to be a hired servant. So we can see he didn't have a good relationship with his dad. The relationship that he did have, he only wanted to be able to control his wealth. The outcome of him taking possession of his wealth was that he destroyed his life and he ended up far away from the loving heart of his father. But the second son, I would argue that when he says to his dad, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with friends. His goal was also, just like the younger brother, to gain control of his father's wealth. Just like his younger brother, he had a strategy to get possession of his father's wealth. His relationship with his father was not healthy. There was no understanding heart to heart, father to son. His simple goal, I want control. The younger son, his method was to take and run before his time. The older son was to work hard, get down in the dirt, get in the field, and earn his father's wealth. I am blown away today by the fact that our good actions with the wrong motives can take us as far away from the Father's heart as bad actions. Our good actions, our earning the love of God, our attempt to seize possession of God's resource will take us just as far away from the Father's heart to be the other kind of lost. I've learned a few things over this year, over being the second son. I have worked my backside off at times. As I look back over my Christian journey from when I got saved 12 years ago, and I look back at where I earned, and I did everything that I could to earn something from God as an attempt to manipulate how God would engage with me. And when it didn't go to plan, I would turn my head to heaven and I would say, haven't you seen what I've done? Older son syndrome. When something chaotic has happened in my world, I have looked to God again. And I have said to him in the face, and I hate to admit that I have said to him, why did you do this to me? Have you not seen how much I've done for you? Older son syndrome. I have spent time or attempted to spend time with Jesus. I have attempted to open my word. I have attempted to put on worship music. I have attempted to pray at times and not got anything. And I've asked myself the question, well, that wasn't worth it. Why did I do that? Why did I even bother? Older son syndrome, where my actions are not about a relationship with my father. My actions are about manipulating God towards me. My actions are not about love towards my father. My actions are simply, God, I am trying to gain control of your peace. I'm trying to gain control of your wealth. I'm trying to gain control of your joy. And there may be someone lost in a nightclub, but here I am, just as lost in church. Just as lost, because I've got older son syndrome. First thing that I've learned is that I have access to my father's resource at all times. I have access to my father's resource at all times.
Come on, right?
Come on. So, you would know my deep relationship with a cafe called Grind. it rains in that place. The presence of God rains. Like, shh. It's crazy. Sometimes I don't even know if I'm hot or cold because I'm shivering but sweating at the same time. And people are looking at me being like, what is going on with that brother? Because in that cafe, for me, it is just my groove. I have found my sweet spot, my chair with Jesus. And I have had, as you do, some very funny moments through the whole grind love affair thing. I have had people read my notes and very loudly ask me why did I pray that to Jesus on my computer. I have, because I'm cool with a K, I have one earphone in, one earphone out. I'm listening to worship music. But I'm like, I can hear the worship music with my other ear as well. I was like, that's sort of remarkable. I thought it was one of those like mind trick things, like, you know, how the body plays like mind tricks on you. So I'm there with one earphone in, one earphone out, cool with a K, and then I take my earphone out and I go to the counter to order a coffee when I realise I've been sitting there for an hour blasting worship music to the whole of grind because the iPhone plug has stuffed up, and so it's playing through my earphones and playing through my loudspeaker. Oh. I also have a bit of a love affair with Kurnell Beach, and don't go there, it's toxic and putrid. Never go to Kurnell Beach. Me, on the other hand, it's my place. And this is a while ago now, but I remember a different period. Sometimes I walk along the beach, sometimes I walk along the cafe. And one time along the cliffs. Sorry, the grind thing, it's deep in my heart. And so I sit down on the edge of the cliffs, and not a very high cliff because I'm a safe boy, Mum. I'm a safe boy. And so I'm sitting there on the cliff, and I'm having a great time with Jesus, and it was when that song, Beautiful Exchange, was big. When only love could Jackson, and I think Jesus is talking to me, and I'm like, yes, God, holy are you, God, oh, and Jesus is yelling at my name, and I think this is great. When my next door neighbours with four children are there at the bottom of this 2 metre cliff, and they're calling out, Jackson, Jackson. Well, I have had so many amazing times in the cafe and on the cliffs and on the beach. And I go there every day. I go to one of the two every single day. And it is my jam. It's where I am at. Like, literally, you know the feeling when God speaks to you and the presence of God comes down. It's amazing. But what started to happen, and I really do notice this in hindsight, is that I start to think to myself, this is how I get peace. I sit in that chair and I read my Bible. This is how I get passion. This is how I get presence. I go on the beach and I walk and I pray in tongues. This is how I deal with a chaotic head because of chaotic things happening in my world. I pace up and down that beach. I listen to worship music. I go when it's dark so that no one can see me. And that is how I get peace. But over time, I am slowly but surely, subliminally teaching myself, convincing myself that if you want this, that's how you get it. And so this, doing it, becomes a chore to get something from God, rather than what it originally was, which was me spending time with my Father. The byproduct of spending time with God is, of course, the fruits of the Spirit. It's patience. It's peace. It's clear thinking. It's the absence of fear. But don't fall into the trap. The trap that says, you must do this to get that. That is older son mentality. Now, I want you to keep doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it every single day. But there will be some days where I don't have time in the morning to do that. But that doesn't mean God's peace isn't available to me right then, right there. Older son mentality says, get into the field and work for it so that you've earned it. A healthy relationship with your Father. says, I'm at work. I need it. God, give it to me. I receive it. We have access to our Father's resource at all times, forever at all times. Whenever you need it, you've got it. You turn your head to your Father. He literally said to his son, you are always with me and everything that I have is yours. Keep spending time with Jesus, but don't limit the resources of heaven into your life. Don't limit it by saying it only happens when I spend time with him. You incline your head to heaven whenever you need it, and you get the peace, and you get the joy, and you get the provision, and you get the patience. You have access to your Father's resource at all times. Number two is, I don't work for my Father's resource, I work with my Father's resource. I don't work for it, I work with it. God's resource is not to be earned. I don't serve to get God's resource. I don't give to God to get something in return. It is all older son, older brother syndrome. I don't do it, I don't serve, I don't operate in life to get something from God. I receive from God, and with that which I have received, then I do. When I serve, I don't serve to get peace. I serve because God's given me peace. And I go and I take it to the people who need it. I'm a youth pastor, and people often need to be counseled in some heavy things, and their heads need to be lifted. I don't operate and I don't work to get something from God. I don't talk to these people. I don't hang out with them and encourage them so that I myself can get it. No, I get it and then I give it to them. The enemy, I've seen this in my own life, and maybe you can see it in your own life, is subliminally, slowly but surely, taking has certainly taken me to this works mentality. And it has ripped me and so many people and the world around me off, because I'm living my life thinking that I don't have it and that I need to get it. But when I'm at the gym or when I'm at the cafe and someone talks to me, I don't need to earn it. I just need to receive it and give it to them. But people have been talking to a Jackson who lacks because I've been older brother syndrome.
Right.
No more older brother. I need someone who receives from the grace of Jesus Christ, who gets given it, not earned it, and I go and give it to the rest of the world. Third thing that I've learned is constantly enjoy Jesus. This is it. Jesus, yes, he is to be consulted. Yes, he is to be learnt from. Yes, he is to be listened to. Yes, he is to be admired. Yes, he is to be studied. But I would argue today that the primary role of Jesus is to be enjoyed. The primary job of Jesus is that we would have a dynamic, fun, intimate relationship with him. That he is not just on the pages. He is not just at church. He is not just whatever. He is someone that I walk with, live with, do my life with, and he is to be enjoyed. I don't go to Jesus to get something anymore, because I can literally, because I have Jesus, I ask God whenever I need something, and there it is. But now my relationship with Jesus is about enjoying life with him, enjoying life with my forever friend. I will go and be in eternity with Jesus. I'm literally walking out my life right now. Why? So that I can enjoy everything that Jesus has put in front of me. Every conversation that he gives me the opportunity to minister into. Me and Jesus, we do it together. Jesus and God, he is not to be worked for. Now, I work for God. With all that God's given me, with all the resource of heaven that he has poured into my lap, I work for God. I take it to the world that he has asked me to take it to. But I don't work to get that. But I enjoy everything that Jesus is and who he is to me and what he's given. And I go and I take it to the world. I actually think that's probably the most attractive thing about a Christian that people respond to, someone who enjoys life with Jesus. Not someone who can preach good, not someone who knows it all, not someone who's studied it, someone who literally knows and is Lord and taught themselves counter to what the world teaches, and that is to enjoy Jesus Christ. I almost called this sermon the worst kind of lost. You see, being lost as the first brother, it is terrible, yes, but I personally think that it's pretty easy why we know why he's lost. It's very easy. It's our fault. God's grace. It's very obvious. It's clear. You've got a clear point in your life when you can look back and you're like, I was the younger brother who was lost. I had ruined my life. I was in the pit. But Jesus Christ, Psalm chapter 40, he picked me out of the mud and the miry clay and he put me on a firm foundation. It's clear. But the older brother syndrome is sneaky, right, and it's conniving, and it's stealthy. Yeah. And you can be operating for so long and not realize that it is there.
Yeah.
We get into a pattern of serving to get, youth leading to get, earning. We get into this horrible pattern of earning. But it's not until we drop every position, every claim to fame, every way that we do something for God. It is not truly until we drop all of that, that we can actually receive all that God has for us. It's not that we can put down all of the titles, all of the good stuff that God's done in our lives, all of the ways that we do stuff for him. It's not until we forget all of that and put our attention on Jesus, and that's when we can truly enjoy Jesus and all that he has for us. But it just comes in so clearly. In 2015, I was 6 months into the junior high pastor position. And I think in my immaturity, I held on to the title. And I am speaking out of hindsight. It was a while ago now, but I reckon I got into the older brother syndrome. In fact, I know it because of how God broke it in my life. I was very, very lost, and I was asking the questions, God, what about me? My soul was so empty and so dry, and I was like, hello Jesus, hello God, and Tim would sit with me at the cafe. I actually remember where we would sit at the same seat, and he would have the same conversation, and we would try every single thing to break this in me. But in hindsight, after this whole journey, and this has been 8 hard months, these have not been nice months. This has literally been so many hard months wrestling this identity. I am God's son, and he is my father. He is to be enjoyed, not to be worked for. It's been 8 hard months, but I was reminded of the way that this broken me in 2015. God divinely sent me to a conference, and I remember that the preacher of that conference, I only remembered this today. The preacher of this conference, he preached out of Luke chapter 15. He preached about the prodigal son. And he actually preached about the younger brother. But the whole time that he was speaking, even though he was speaking about the younger brother, he was telling me, God was speaking to me about being the older brother. And he says, why are you outside of the party? There's a party on the inside. Why are you refusing to go into the party? And I went down in the ministry altar call. So he called out, oh, you know, come down if you're the lost son. And it wasn't me, but off I went down because I knew God was speaking to me. And I'm standing there in worship. I actually, I got prayed for by the Bishop T.D. Jakes. And I fell over under the power of God. And I had this vision of me and Jesus. I was a child. I was in a tuxedo suit. Jesus was also in a tuxedo suit. And there we are, and I am standing on Jesus' feet, and we are at a party together, and we are like a father. He was helping me dance, and he was holding, I was about this big, Jesus about this big, and I was dancing with Jesus. I went back in my journal to that day, April 14th, 2015. This is literally just as I got up. I felt God say to me, let's dance. I got this image of me as a child standing on Jesus' feet, being led in a dance with him. I felt like God said to me that there will always be work to be done, so I have to make a conscious choice to enjoy God's presence as I go. It will never be finished, so I need to allow time to enjoy. He wants me to enjoy every single day with Him. Jackson, enjoy time in His presence. You know why I think I was a child? Because children don't have claim to fame. So they don't have those things that they can be the older brother. Children are always going to be just in love with their dad, in love with their father. Tonight, I believe that over this room that there are some people in there, some hearts, and you've got to give your life back to Jesus. You are an older brother, and no judgment from me. I have been there, and you have been coerced by the world, just slowly but surely into that position of working for God to manipulate how He gives you His resource. Yet we need to break that tonight, and you need to go back to a simple relationship with Jesus Christ as your person that you enjoy, that your father. So this story, the prodigal son, also to me known, the two prodigal sons. Jesus is telling it, and I actually think that there is a third man in this story, because Jesus is, of course, talking about His Father. And He actually shows us what is the role of the third son. Who is the third son? It's actually Jesus Himself. So He's talking about His Father. Jesus obviously can't be two of the other brothers because He never got lost. But He does show us how a true son of God, a true daughter of God should act. Intimate with their father, very intimate, enjoying their father's presence, would go away with him and pray and enjoy time with his father, escape the crowds. But ultimately, the goal of the third brother was to make sure that the first brother was found. So Jesus left the father. This is the third brother. This is our call as a Christian, to leave the father, to go and reach the lost and bring them back to their loving father. Tonight, if you are not a Christian in the room, this is what Jesus Christ came to do. The reason why we believe all this, the reason why countless thousands of books have been written about Him, is because He is a God that left heaven to rescue you. He is the brother who was enjoying His Father's house, enjoying the perfect life with the Father, but left it all. Still engaging, still intimate with the Father, but left it all so that you, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, could return home to Him. Could you bow your heads, close your eyes?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.